Gospel of John chapter 9. Why don't you look there with me tonight? John chapter 9. I'm going to read here, beginning with verse number 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Amen. And came seeing. Now, I don't know if you've given much thought to this passage of Scripture, but the question is brought to the Lord about why this man is blind, because it was pretty much the traditional way in Jewish thought that people who suffered in their life physical problems, sicknesses, diseases, that they suffered them because of sin. Now, we do know that there are sicknesses unto death, and there are sicknesses that are the result of sin. We understand that's true, but not in every case. Not in every case, especially in this case. This was an innocent little baby born blind. Now, can you imagine this kind of a tragedy? A parent, their child is born blind. That's an overwhelming thing when parents have gone through something like that. It's hard for me to even comprehend what they go through when they go through a tragedy like that. But on top of it, on top of the tragedy of this baby being born blind, these parents, they live with the grief that many around them believed that this child was born like this because of their own sin and their own failures. It's happened because of your sin. It's your fault. Boy, that would be very heavy load to carry, wouldn't it? It really would be a big load to carry. But Jesus, he cleared up this whole matter for them that day. Now this baby has grown into a full-grown man, and the question of his blind condition is brought to the Lord. And the question is, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You can see that this was kind of the traditional way that the Jewish folks, that they believed. But Jesus responded by saying, this man hasn't sinned, neither this man nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Amen. That God had allowed this dark tragedy to come into this life because he was going to bring a miracle. He was going to bring a deliverance from this blind condition, and his power was going to be manifested, and everyone there was going to be able to see the glory of God. Amen. And then he goes right into the text here that and the words of Jesus that we've heard many times. He's comparing this to his own works when he says, I must work the works of him that has sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. So up against the backdrop of of this man being born blind and living in under this terrible circumstance. All he needed was an encounter with Jesus. All he needed was to come into contact with the power of God to change the circumstance that he was in. You know that God, he loves to set it up. God loves to set things up so that whenever he works, it's obvious to everyone. His power is being manifested. His name is to be glorified in that situation. So in a lot of times, he does that. He said, I must work while it is day. He's talking about opportunity to see things happening, because night is coming, and when night comes, opportunity is going to be gone. I got to work while I've got the opportunity, because the night is coming and the opportunity won't be here. Do you know that God can work in the most impossible situations? You know, a jeweler, they say that a jeweler will take a diamond, and if he's going to display it to get the most attention, he'll put the diamond on a backdrop of maybe a black velvet or a very dark cloth, and the diamond then is placed right in the center of that dark cloth, and it is just brilliant. The darkness and the contrast from the darkness to the brilliance of the diamond is a selling feature for that diamond. Let me tell you that we are right now in a very, very dark time all over this world. We're in a very dark time as far as our nation and the direction of our nation. And it's like the darkness is just daily coming in on you. And it's getting darker and darker and more seemingly impossible for the church to really do what we need to do. If you were looking at it from just the natural perspective, you would say, we're losing this battle. We're losing this battle. The church is not experiencing the revival we want to see, and it seems like that the world is growing, and the ways of the world and the thinking and the philosophy of the world is almost becoming the law of the land. That's the way it seems. It seems, but I just wanted to remind you that God many times will work up against the backdrop of the darkest circumstance, and he does it that way because he wants the brilliance of his glory, the brilliance of his manifest power and light to be made so real that the world will see that Jesus is the only way that the problem could be solved. This man was blind, desperate, and the family was under the cloud of this hopeless situation, but Christ stepped on the scene and moved for them. Kind of a interesting but wonderful way that the Lord, who just stooped down and made out of clay and spittle a little ointment to put on the eyes, giving him the command to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the Bible says he went, he was washed, and he came seeing. All the religious crowd, they could not understand it. When you read on in the chapter, he was being questioned, he was being accused. Why did this happen? Who was it that did this? Who was this man? And finally, it got down to the point where they're trying to give answers as to what was going on. And finally, they just came down and said, I don't know. All I know is that I once was blind, but now I can see. I can't give you all the theology. I don't know what's happened here. I don't understand all that's happened here. All I know is that I met a man, his name was Jesus, and I was in darkness, but now I can see. Praise God. Now the world doesn't have to have you know, all of the answers. They certainly don't need to know everything about the Bible and everything about how to serve the Lord to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Amen. And He can take their situation and turn it completely around. And I just believe that in the midst of all the dark things that are happening in our world today, that God is just setting things up so that the church, if the church will allow God to work in us and through us, God is setting it up for have all of this darkness in our world. I mean, just everywhere you look, we're just overwhelmed by the darkness. But that's not the way it is to be for the church. We're not going to go out like that. The closing out of this age is going to be a time of God's power being manifested. Amen. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. There's going to be a last day outpouring of the Spirit that's going to bring in the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church. It's going to be paralleled with the darkness and the dark things that are happening. It just simply means that you can either cave in to all the things that are happening around you, or you can turn your eyes to the Lord and understand that He's here. He can open eyes. He can work miraculous things. He can do amazing and wonderful miracles if we'll put our trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We've been quoting this verse a lot from Romans 5 and 20. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. When sin is increasing, when sin is growing, when the ways of the world are advancing, that doesn't mean that we are retreating and we are losing. It means that God and the grace of God steps up in the times when sin is abounding and grace much more abounds. Amen. There's two different words here, and I was doing a word study on that verse. There's one word that describes sin abounding, and it just means that it's advancing, it's increasing and growing. But where it says that grace will much more abound, it's a completely different word. A completely different word. And it just means that it is beyond or super abounding, beyond anything that the enemy can ever throw in our pathway. God's grace, which is his divine might and power, is going to super abound, overwhelmingly abound over all of the darkness of our world that we live in. Praise God. That doesn't make any difference. I know that things look bad, and it looks like we've got a lot of people in power and in authority and leaders in our world, in our country, and many people are wicked, and we have moved into the Antichrist age, the spirit of the Antichrist. Did you hear about the Florida University professor who had an assignment in the class? Everyone was to not write the name of Jesus on a piece of paper, put it on the floor, and they were to get on top of that, and they were to stomp on the name of Jesus. This happened a few days ago. Huge uproar. Thank God there was an uproar. You say, oh, that's just a bunch of foolishness. No, it's just one more little incident that's happening almost every day as a reminder. Now, let's turn that around. If he would have said, write the name of Muhammad on a piece of paper and put it on the floor and stomp on it, do you think we would have a public outcry? Yes, sir, we would have. But it's that name of Jesus that people want removed from the public. They want it removed from everything. You can even pray a prayer, but please don't pray in the name of Jesus. You can do a lot of things, religious things, but please don't talk about our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? There's power in that name. There is power in that name, and that is a name that is above every other name. That's why there's such an Antichrist spirit that's abounding in our world today. But where sin is abounding, it's increasing, it's growing, and you feel like, oh, we're being overwhelmed with all of these things that are happening in our world today. Oh, no, we're not. We're not at all. Because where sin is increasing and growing, God's grace super abounds. It goes far beyond anything. There is power that is sufficient for the time that we're living in right now. Praise God. Amen. It's a difficult time, but it's a wonderful time. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's the effort the God of this world is trying to keep men from seeing the light of Christ. They're trying to stop that. They want to stifle the work of God and stop the ministry and stop the church and try to hinder it. But it's not going to succeed. They're not going to succeed. If we put our trust in the Lord, if we call upon the Lord, if anything, this kind of pressure on the church may be the best thing that's ever come our way in the United States of America. Because we know that whenever we are flourishing and under abundance and things are going well, we get lazy, things are easy, and we're not under the pressure. But under pressure, we call upon the Lord. Under pressure, our faith is strengthened. Under pressure, we put our trust in the Lord in a way that we haven't at other times. Amen. The God of this world, we know that Satan, he's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They're all blinded. They're blinded. They can't see the light of the gospel. And that is our calling, our responsibility. You know, we're the scripture in Matthew says that we're the light of the world, Matthew 5:13. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. We're the salt of the earth, and you're the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The real need is for the church and the light of the church to become brilliant and bright and powerful, and our testimony to be real. What's happened over the last number of decades is there's been one news story after another about a preacher that fell into immorality, about someone in the church, about some abuses in churches, and it's reported on week after week after week, tearing down the confidence of this generation in the church. And so now, for many, the church becomes a mockery. It's a mockery. But the only thing that will counter that is for you and I to be the real deal, the real thing, to have the real touch of God. There is a hunger for the reality of Christ. There is a hunger for the truth of God's Word. They long to see the light of the gospel breaking through the darkness. They want the salt to stop, the salt, the church to be worth its salt, so that we can put a stop to the direction and the corruption of our world that we're in today. You see, yeah, but we're just we're small. We don't really have that much effect or influence. You don't use a lot of salt. Salt is just a small amount of salt that accomplishes a lot. Amen? Just a little bit. You ladies that cook, you know that sometimes it's just a pinch is all you need. Just a little bit of salt. And it provides just the right flavor. It does just what it's intended to do. It's just something it's small, but mighty and powerful. Amen. And the salt, the church that is the salt of the earth, if we have not lost our savor, if we're still worth our salt, if we still have our strength, then a few can make a huge impact. A few can make a huge impact. Don't ever think that a prayer group of 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 that it's not effective. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it is. Don't think that if we meet on Wednesday night and there's only, 30 of us here to pray. Don't minimize what God can do through 30 or 35 people who gather here to call upon the name of the Lord. We may not be great in great numbers here tonight, but we are the salt of the earth. And the strength of that salt, the strength of that influence of the church is mighty and powerful, especially up against the backdrop of a world that's full of darkness, full of corruption, full of evil, full of iniquity and lies and all the awfulness of this generation. You're the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You see, and I'm not against, I think it's fine to be, politically involved and active. And I think it's fine to do things that way. But the real strength of the church is in our purity. The real strength of the church is in the power of the Spirit of God that's in our life. The real strength of the church is in our obedience to God's word, and we live out the life that Christ would have us to live in the world that's out there. We don't need to march up and down the streets with banners and signs against all the wickedness. We just need to live and shine our light. Amen. We need to be worth our salt. And God put us out there in the places of business and to connect with various people out there in the public and to have a righteous influence. A godly influence. We have been called as influencers to our society, to our world. Culture can be affected by just a few Christians. I've witnessed this over the years. You just take one Christian into a big room of people working, one Christian with a real effective life and testimony, maybe not a lot of words, just living for God, trying to be obedient to God. God puts you on that job with a room full of people, and you may be the only one that serves the Lord. But oh, let me tell you, your light is bright. Your light is bright. You're having an effect. You're having an impact where you are, wherever it might be. You're having an influence. So don't ever think that you're not, because God has positioned you where you are. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When they see you and they see your life and they see your testimony, then they are going to say, that's God. God's in that person. God's in that man. God's in that woman. And they'll glorify God because of the testimony of your life and your witness. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I want you to be encouraged. I've said a lot of things in recent services about all this big mess going on up there in the Supreme Court in Washington and all the direction of our nation. And I don't want to give a whole lot of emphasis to that without balancing it, but with letting you know what I really know and believe that the Word of God teaches, and that is a lot of things are going on. It's really bad, and sin is abounding, but grace is much more abounding. Amen. In spite of all that's going on, the grace of God is much, much more abounding in working through the testimony of the lives of believers. Praise God. Hallelujah. This man in our text was healed by God. The Lord touched him and healed him so that the work of God could be manifest, so the glory of God could be manifest. And that family lived in darkness, and they lived under the guilt of blame and all of these things. But one encounter with Jesus changed all of that, set them free from that. And up against the backdrop of all that they were going through, the Lord stepped on the scene. Amen. And the works of God were manifest. He brought salvation to that household. He brought healing to that household. He brought relief to that family who lived under that burden of guilt and blame all of those years. All it took was one encounter with Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that's what can happen in your life, in your family's lives, people that you are praying for, you're concerned about, that are away from God. That's what can happen. I just encourage you, be the testimony. Be the testimony. Be the one. You may feel like, I'm not all that important in my family. They don't want to hear what I got to say. I'm just this lowly little Pentecostal. Let me tell you what, when the storm gets here, when things get dark, when things get troubled, they're going to be glad you're on the boat. They're going to be glad that they've got some little Pentecostal on the boat with them, knows how to get a hold of God. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that when sin abounds, grace is much, much, much more abounding. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to avail ourselves of the wonderful blessing, the benefit, Lord, of knowing you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lord, here we are this week. Lord, this resurrection week. And Lord, there's a lot of people, so many, they're so far away from you. Many of them are bound. Many of them, Lord, are just, they're in hopeless situations. Lord, I just pray that there would be people that would have an encounter with you. Oh, Lord, that they would meet you, because when you step into their life, then you can bring hope. You can bring them out of all of the darkness and the hopelessness that they're in. Hallelujah. Lord, save the lost this week, I pray. Save the lost, Lord. Lord, draw them in. Draw them in by your Holy Spirit. Our loved ones, our families, our neighbors. Lord, those, God, that you give us an opportunity to reach out to them. Lord, help us to be worth our salt and to have an effective witness to the world that's around us. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Anoint us, we pray. Lord, would you anoint this weekend? Anoint the service Sunday. All the Sunday school teachers and workers, Lord, a mighty anointing. An anointing, Lord, in the worship service, in the preaching, Lord, in the singing, in the altar service, every part of the day, Sunday, Lord. Oh, how we need your anointing. How we need your presence. Lord, would you just be glorified this week? Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord.